We're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one. Yes, we're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Bal Red Radio. My name is Matt Weston. Tonight, I'm joined by unrestricted free agent, BFD. How are you doing tonight, man?
Yes, but I've got offers from 14 different teams.
14?
14. So I might as well go full agent on this and just start unnecessary rumors, right?
I think you sell yourself a little short. I think you have more than 14. So many deals. Everybody loves me. I'm a big star.
I can't remember who it was, but there was somebody who got cut and like they instantly turned around and said, yeah, we've got five teams that have contacted us. And it's like, yeah, more like negative five. So I love the agent spin this time of year.
Yeah. I'm surprised there aren't like more agents on Twitter and social media, that sort of thing. Cause like we now have Twitter football doctors. We have, you know, beat reporters and that sort of thing, but bettors and gamblers, but we don't have any sports agents, which is kind of surprising.
Well, there's a couple of years ago, God, it was 4 or 5 years ago now, that Tim Dobbins' agent was on, and I was ragging on him that his when Tim Dobbins didn't go to, it was like OTAs or it was something voluntary, and he was the only Texan not to go, and I was ragging on the agent that that Dobbins was going to get cut because of it, and he was like, you're full of it, and yep, Dobbins got cut.
Good. Thank you, good. We can't be doing things like that. So if you, yeah, because that was whenever he was building his house, like Die Hard Chris, I think at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. Oh, how that time goes. But yeah, if you didn't know it, the Texans free agency is currently ongoing. The Texans have done some things. There are some things that they didn't do that we wanted them to do. They lost some players that we wanted them to lose and one that we kind of felt like we wanted them to keep. And so what we're going to do is just kind of go through what happened over the past 2 days in chronological order, which is kind of like a good recap of what's happened so far and what we think will happen kind of going on in the future. So the first thing that happened was that the Texans had four free agent defensive linemen for this offseason. So
can I preemptively start laughing as you talk about that?
So Christian Covington, Brandon Dunn, Joel Heath, and I guess Brandon Dunn was a restricted free agent. Joel Heath, Antonio Blackson was an unrestricted free agent. They were all kind of out there on the market, you know, floating around. And I guess, you know, Houston would sign one of them. If I had to pick one of them, what I said was I'd pick Angelo Blackson. I think he's the best of the bunch. But, like, it would be, you know, like a really short deal or whatever, just some sort of filler stuff. The Texans felt the same way, but they felt a lot more strongly about Angelo Blackson than anybody else in the world did. More than Blackson's own mother, more than his entire family tree. Because the Texans gave Angelo Blackson a 3-year contract for $12 million. And Angelo Blackson, if you forgot last year, he had 5 quarterback hurries, 2 quarterback hits, 1 sack on 430 snaps. He had 3 passes defensed. And he played about a little bit less than half of the Texans' defensive snaps. So, BFD, why in the world did the Texans decide to give Angelo Blackson, of all people, $4 million a year?
It's absolutely befuddling. And to be fair, in today's NFL, 3 years, $12 million doesn't really mean that, you know. But it's still just, even on paper, even in theory, in practice especially in any situation, this is why. I mean, Angelo Blackson's the type of guy who is, like, literally a replacement-level player. And why you'd go out and give him this type of contract, even though if it's, you know, some of it's monopoly money, I'm it's just silliness. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, it's super weird to me, mainly because he's, like you say, he's replacement level. He's just a guy. I think the nicest thing I can say about Blackson is that in the run game, he isn't a negative, but he's not a positive. He's not in the backfield. He's not making a bunch of disruption. He's not, you know, completely stonewalling double teams. Like, he's fine. But the problem is that when you have a defense with a front seven consisting of J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney, Bernard McKinney, Zach Cunningham, secondary that tackled really well last year. We'll see how they tackle this year. You don't need to pay for run defenders. A 3-4 defensive end who's decent against the run is absolutely worthless. He doesn't make your team any better. what the Texans needed was an interior pass rusher. And those two like big names, Blake Jackson, Sheldon Richardson, are, you know, gone to the other teams. And I guess the biggest thing about it, like, I know, you know, he won't get the full $12 million. He'll still get $4 million this year, though. And like that fraction, $4 million, that's, you know, that's half of the contract that it would take him to get Malik Jackson for a year at $10 million a year. That's, you know, about half it would cost to bring Sheldon Richardson here. Maybe $3 million on top of that. You can get Muhammad Wilkerson in Houston. And so it's just more like the opportunity cost of paying him $4 million when you're a little bit more, you're pretty much removing a fraction that can go to somebody else. And so I just don't get it, mainly because I don't see Blackson adding any value at all whatsoever. And I see him pretty much the same as I see Brandon Dine, Covington, and Heath. And so why he's given $12 million over 3 years, I really don't get it. I don't understand it at all.
I'm sitting here, you know, during this podcast, and, you know, Matt and I see each other on video, and I'm just sitting here with my hands up like the, you know, the stupid emoji, because I just don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, let me preface this also by saying, like, I like what Houston's done so far in free agency in a lot of ways. But the one really dumb thing I think they've done is this Angelo Blackson thing, because smart teams don't do this. Like, smart, like, really the whole goal of free agency is you don't want to pay too much for, you know, bad to mediocre talent. And I feel like the Texans have done this, even though it's only $4 million a year. It's just kind of like more what it means overall, like the fraction and the opportunity cost that comes along with paying, you know, a guy who doesn't provide anything of value this much money.
Yeah. As we move on a little bit, but just think, if you don't sign Angelo Blackson for this money, you know, maybe you take $2 million of this and you pay, you know, a year, and then you can beat, like, you know, the BESF signing Roger Saffold.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. That seems like a better allocation of that money that Angelo Blackson got. That guy you can go pick up as UDFA is going to offer you the same damn thing.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing they did too is they re-signed Joel Heath for 1 year. They tendered Dunn. Nobody's going to, you know, try to sign Dunn as a restricted free agent or whatsoever. So they pretty much kept the same player, but for, you know, $1 million each. I think Dunn's deal is for $2 million with the tender that they gave him as well too. So it's like, you already have these same guys. You have Carlos Watkins on the roster, the same sort of guy. And so paying for him, you know, really doesn't make any sense whatsoever. The other move that they made on Monday, those kind of, well, I guess they made a few other smaller moves on Monday. They re-signed DeAndre Carter for 1 year, $570,000. I thought Carter was a good emergency slot receiver. He also returned punts. He returned kicks. You know, like, considering how starving they were for wide receiver help, I think Carter was more than good at that role. But, like, whenever it's week one and everybody's healthy and you have training camp, is Carter, you know, a valuable part of this roster? I don't know. So are you okay now with the wide receiver position with Carter, Hopkins, Cutie, Vincent Smith, and Will Fuller? Or do you think this is still a spot the Texans need to address?
I think it's still a spot we need to address, just because there's no way in Hades I would ever look at Will Fuller and say, I don't need a guy who's going to play 10 games and who's going to play 500 snaps backing him up. As far as DeAndre Carter, that is silly. I really like this signing because, number one, he's just fine on special teams, returning punts and kicks. You know, he's the type of guy, you take that little bit of a risk. You say, hey, I'm going to give you a little bit extra. Here's a little bit guaranteed. I'm going to wrap you up for 3 years, and that way I don't have to worry about somebody returning kicks and punts for me for 3 years. I would have done that with him. I would have given him a contract that has some guaranteed money and not Angelo Blackson. Just because he's a guy who has a role, fills it more than adequately. That's just my hot take.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I like Carter as well too. He caught like a lot of really good little drag routes. He was good in that Philly game. He was good against the Jets. And you know, the Texans did have a good return team unit, you know, last year again too, both at punt returns and kick returns. And you know, Carter filled in with Carter doing that. They don't have to worry about QD doing it. They don't have to worry about Fuller doing it. So yeah, like, I like this pick, and I like the sign that you're $570,000. So yeah, good job, Brian Gain. This is a good one.
Woo!
They also, in addition to tendering Dunn, they also tendered Kyme Fairbairn, and they tendered Brennan Scarlett as well too. So are you excited? Are you ready for 2019? More Brennan Scarlett PFF grades. Are you ready for it?
I can't withhold my enthusiasm. I hope it's coming across on the podcast as we speak.
I feel like I'm driving a minivan right now and looking at you in the rearview mirror, and you're just a bored teenager, you know?
Are we there yet? God. Yeah.
It's like a 10-minute drive to school, and I don't want to be here.
Come on.
Yeah. So, yeah, Brent Scarlett will be back here again. And there's still going to be, like, I'm so excited for August. Like, Brent Scarlett's having a great camp. This is the year he's going to break out. So, no, he's not even an average player. He's bad. And he doesn't do anything except for, like, play special teams. And, you know, it's fine. Keep him here. That's fine. I just think it kind of depends on what else they do, because Brent Scarlett's not an answer if that's a linebacker position.
Brendan Scarlett is the LaStar gene of wide of linebackers. I'm sorry.
Except, like, at least LaStar had, like, some preseason, you know, snags out there. And I think he had a star in his hair, too. Maybe I just imagined that. I think I imagined that. But
yeah, but Scarlett had a 9.8 gigawatt PFF score in one game.
I think it was, like, 93.4 or something.
Whatever. Are we there yet?
My other favorite thing about free agency so far. Well, one, I think free agency is really dumb because there's so much money and not enough really great talent out there. So a lot of these teams are overpaying for guys. And two, just like the analysis, it's like, oh, this is an awful contract for Quan Alexander. He had a PFF grade 57. Well, I think the issue isn't Quan Alexander. I think the issue here is that PFF, Pro Football Focus grades, have no tie to reality and how teams think about things and how players are actually worth it all whatsoever. I think that's the bigger thing going on here. I don't think it's because the 49ers made just a truly terrible or tremendously bad decision.
Yeah, but again, you know, the numbers are coming out on his contract and there's not much guaranteed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, you know, the NFL contracts today are, the ones that are handed out on during free agency are not reality, because the guaranteed numbers are important, but that's it. As for the rest of it, I think it's pretty trash.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're a signing guy for 3 years, pretty much. And I can see kind of the new CBA, you have to pay. I can see making all guaranteed, but no contracts, like more than 3 years or something for certain guys. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I think you're going to see more guaranteed money, just shorter contracts. And it already kind of set up like that anyways. And the Texans also signed a second round tender to Kyme Fairbairn. So, like, with this decision, BFD, do you think this is, like, a budgetary thing not to extend him? Or do you see this more as, like, we're not fully confident in Fairbairn to be the kicker?
No, I think this was kind of a solid that they did for Fairbairn with the way that they tendered him, because he's getting $3 million a year. They had the room. I know you're paying a kicker $3 million a year. It's a little bit on the crazy side. But when you look across the league and you look at Fairbairn and his performance versus, I don't know, 75% of the rest of kickers in the league, it's pretty solid. I like this kid a lot. I think it's a good move. This is another guy I would move to sign up. Let's give him some long-term security and take a short-term hit because we've got the cap room now. I would definitely do that with Fairbairn, which, again, is a kicker. You don't really do this with a kicker. I wouldn't do it with a kicker, but he's young enough and he's been good enough to – and you look around the league and you look at the risk that teams take by signing, I don't know, Shane Graham.
Yeah.
And the problems that happen with that. And I'm going, okay, yeah, I'm going to give him that opportunity. I'm going to give him that guaranteed money to tie him up. And he's mine. I don't have to worry about kicker for the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And the weird thing is, like, you know, Josh Lambeau Jacksonville signed like a 4-year, $13 million extension. And so, like, you have $3 million a year. I don't think it's a lot for kicker at all anymore. And, you know, he's automatic from under 40 yards. The Texans are really good in kickoffs. He actually can kick the ball to the back of the end zone. And, like, I mean, I think anything greater than 50, you're not confident in him. I don't know. That's one thing Houston's just trying to do here. They want to make sure he can do it for one more season before they give him, you know, $3.5 million every year for, you know, 3 years, 4 years, whatever. But, yeah, I'm glad that Kaimi will be here again for another year.
Yeah. Hey, he's no Shane Graham.
Yeah.
No Chris Brown. No.
Nobody's Shane Graham. Nobody's Chris Brown. Nobody's Randy. I can't believe Randy Bullock still kicks, too. It's really unbelievable.
Shane Graham needs to acquire the 7-yard line to stay within his range.
And there's Nick Novak. Don't forget Nick Novak.
Oh, God.
AAF's Nick Novak. All right. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back, and we'll talk about the real big stuff, the real big things that happened over the past 2 days.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
And we're back. And so the biggest thing that has really kind of happened this free agency period is that the safety market has just been absolute bonkers. Landon Collins, 6 years, $84 million with the Washington Redskins. Adrian Amos, 4 years, $37 million with the Green Bay Packers. LaMarcus Joyner, 3 years, $42 million with Oakland. Eric Weddle, 2 years, $10.5 million with Los Angeles Rams. Kenny Vaccaro, 4 years, $26 million with Tennessee. And last offseason, guys really struggled at the safety position to find contracts. Vaccaro did, Tyrann Mathieu did, Eric Reed did, and we know those were extenuating circumstances too regarding that. And even Nash Meister had a comment too for a nod. He said, did every single GM just go on a bender and forget that safety doesn't matter at all whatsoever? So BFT, what happened with the safety position this year? Why have teams been so willing to spend exorbitant amount of monies on the safety position?
This is another case of me being befuddled about what's going on. I think part of it is just, you know, we've talked about it already, is that, you know, free agency with all the cap movements that went up, you know, we had the giant cap increase this year, and we have, you know, the contracts today are so much more different that you have the upfront guaranteed money, but you can get off contracts easier. I think that's played a part of it. So you got the guys that are being like heavily overpaid, but it's just kind of de facto because it's free agency. But man, when you're given Tyrann Mathieu 3 years and $42 million, you're drunk. I just don't get some of these contracts. And I think that when Landon Collins signed that deal with Washington, I think that's what really broke the market. And so I think you saw, what you're seeing is you're seeing the GMs panic, and it's turning into like this weird trading places kind of movie thing where everything's panicking because they think that that orange juice is going to be, you know, the orange juice crop got ruined. But no, you need a good safety, but safety is a position that you can be fine at without having a Landon Collins, and especially without having a Tyrann Mathieu on your team. And so I think that's just drunken sailors on leave panicking.
Yeah, I think one thing is that these are all talented players. I can remember last year where it's like, you know, Kenny Vaccaro was coming off I guess it was his best year since his other down years in New Orleans. You know, Eric Reed had everything else going on with him outside of the football. Matthew's coming off, you know, his two ACL injuries, was, you know, pretty mediocre in Arizona the year before. I guess I would say I thought he was going to be better than he was last year. And I know he kind of like had some rough years kind of Arizona at the end there, but I think part of it is that one, the talent was more, and also like the cornerback market this year is bad. And so since the cornerback market's bad and you have teams that can spend money, they think, well, we'll just put a lot of money into the safety position. We'll shore up the center of the field and we'll make sure that our cornerbacks are only having to cover the sidelines. And we now have a safety who can, you know, take over the middle of the field and help out from there. And I think that was the idea here for it. And I also think, too, just like how spread out things are, there is going to be more of an importance on the safety position, like guys who can blitz, tackle, cover, because they can play, you know, 4-3 or have 7 in the box and just bring your safety down. He can also cover tight ends, that sort of thing. And so I think you're going to see a lot more like 4-2, you know, nickel sets, but really kind of a 4-3 because your strong safety's be there as your, you know, off-ball linebacker. I think, you know, Collins can do that. Vaccaro can do a little bit. Weddle's already done it before. I haven't watched enough Amos to have an opinion on him. And, you know, Tyrann Mathieu has done that as well, too. So I think it's got a combination of three things. But even me saying that, that's me trying to find an excuse for, you know, for the reason why I keep leaving the refrigerator door open, you know. I just do it. Like, I just messed up. And so I think this is just trying to kind of piece things back together after the fact to provide a reason why it's been such a weird safety market.
Yeah, I can get Landon Collins getting that kind of money. I really can get that. I can get Eric Weddle. I think his contract is perfectly fair.
That was awesome for Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, well, considering his age, too. But Kenny Vaccaro getting that. Adrian Amos, yeah. a little bit more difficult to buy. Tyrann Mathieu, that's just LOL horrible.
Yeah. And the one thing I say about Amos, too, real fast, is that anytime a player on an all-time great defense gets paid a lot of money to play somewhere else, I'm always skeptical. That's kind of why I was skeptical about Aaron Colvin coming to Houston, because playing slot corner with A.J. Boye and Jalen Ramsey and all-time great pass defense is a lot easier than playing that same position in Houston. I know a lot of the problems was, like, you know, his ankle and stuff, but he was bad in preseason even, so... that's one of the things that I'm kind of worried about with Amos. But, you know, it's about Tyrann Mathieu. So the Texans offer Tyrann Mathieu as much as $9.5 billion a year per reports, per sources, which just means like per Aaron Wilson. And the Kansas City Chiefs end up giving Tyrann Mathieu 3 years, $42 million. So do you have an arrowhead tattoo above your lower back now? Are you a Kansas City Chiefs fan? Are you doing the tomahawk chalk in the shower and all that?
No, baby, I still got a tramp stamp. I'm sticking with that.
Yeah, it's an arrowhead now, right?
No. Oh, God. I could think up about four completely tasteless jokes, and I can't even say them on the podcast. It's so bad.
I bet you could turn that tribal tramp stamp and just put an arrowhead around it, you know, to celebrate the Chiefs going absolutely crazy and giving Mathieu about $14 million a year.
I got to admit, I looked at Tyrann Mathieu as kind of a litmus test for Brian Gain, and the litmus test is, and we had this great, you and I and Rivers and Brett, four pretty damn good football minds, especially mine, of course. God, talk about being the mental midget in the country of giants.
Not me at all whatsoever. I'm a very dumb man.
BS. Matt is much smarter than he sounds. Oh man, I like that one. That was nice. Anyway, but we had this huge back and forth about Tyrann Mathieu and about, you know, Brett makes the claim that it's Mathieu is the one who brought the defense together, and that's why the defense got so much better and why the team started winning. And I'm like, no, it's because we played trash after the Colts. Nobody could throw the ball against us, and so it was this really great back and forth. When you have some smart people in the room and you start making arguments, those are the best conversations you have as a human being. When you have your intelligence being questioned in a thoughtful, non-provocative way, that's when you have to be your best as far as making your argument, making your case, and that sort of thing. And that's what we had going on for, man, a good solid 50, 60 emails. I think that Tyrann Mathieu was successful as a Houston Texan because the expectations put on him for most of the season from the opposition were extremely low. And when he was put in a situation where he had to succeed, whether it's covering Nelson Aguilar, whether that's covering Eric Ebron, he did not perform very well. Zach Ertz, he just simply did not perform well. Yes, he had moments where he was good, but look at the personnel he was playing against the entire season. So now he's going to go to Kansas City, where they've lost D4 Justin Houston, which means they've lost 22 sacks from last year. And it's no more Steven Nelson's there. Yes, he'll be playing next to Eric Berry. But if you're expecting Tyrann Mathieu to go out and cover a tight end or cover a wide receiver, you're asking for a huge problem. Kansas City's not going to get to the quarterback. They're not going to cover guys. They're going to have to win games like 500 to 465 next year. And Tyrann Mathieu will be part of the problem because he does not have the supporting cast there anymore. And I think he's going to get embarrassed in Kansas City, Big Matt.
Yeah, and you're paying $14 million a year, too. And, like, with Mathieu, you know, I mean, a lot of it, too, like, he was mediocre last year in Houston. He could tackle pretty well. He could cover okay. You know, like, he was fine. He was also kind of put in, like, a tougher situation. Then he was also, I guess the better way to say it is that he was put in the situation Houston didn't want to put him in. He had to play a lot more slot corner and things like that, a lot more deep safety than they probably wanted him to because of the injuries to the cornerback position. But like that being said, he's not that much of a playmaker. Both of his interceptions came off passes that went off running back's hands. He had four sacks. All four of those sacks were wide open rush lanes where he didn't have to beat a block, didn't have to do anything at all. He just ran forward and tackled the quarterback, unless it was Blake Bortles, who he was trying to murder, but he was unable to. He wished, I've said this probably seven times, but he was dying and praying to make the plays that Justin Reed made all year. And he's like, he just didn't have that at all whatsoever. And so like, even like around like week 9, we're talking about Mathieu, and I said, I don't think the Texans are going to re-sign him. I think Brian Gain's smart. I think he won't do it. Brian Gain wanted to sign him, but he didn't feel Matthew was worth more than $9.5 million. And thankfully, the Chiefs thought he was worth $14 million a year instead. And so, like, you know, I think Matthew's going to be better next year wherever he goes, just because I think he'll be in a little bit better of a spot. If he has cornerbacks healthy in front of him, he can kind of play more of the game that, you know, better suits what he does. But, I mean, not even $9.5 million is too much. $14 million is too much. I think, you know, maybe six or seven makes more sense for a mediocre player. Like the Kenny Vaccaro deal is the type of thing I feel like Matthew would have been fine resigning for. But other than that, like, I'm so glad the Chiefs came in and did this. I'm so glad he's not playing for Houston for that contract. And like, once and again, like, Matthew is a mediocre, but he tricks you into thinking he's great with all of his talking and yapping and yelling. And the play after, he misses the tackle and gives up a touchdown on the screen pass. And so, like, he also represents just kind of like the exact sort of people that, you know, just kind of like really annoying, who are constantly jabbering, don't have the results at all.
Yeah, and taking that a step further, you know, the movie Basketball, the classic.
I love it so much.
Trey Parker, Matt Stone is kind of making fun of the Tyrann Mathieu type of player, the one who, you know, that gives up the 15-yard, you know, pass and makes a halfway decent tackle and gets upset, you know, celebrating, and the other team just converted a first down, and the wide receiver is like going, "You hit me?"
Yeah, yeah.
So that's who Tyrann Mathieu reminds me of. It's, he reminds me of who Stone and Parker were going after in that movie.
Yeah, that's perfect. And every time I see one of those, like, NFL celebrations now, I just think of the line dancing they did in Basketball when we first started. So I think of that every time. So, yeah, it's a great. I do need to watch that movie again sometime soon.
So you know, just one more point I want to make about the Chiefs. They have one decent pass rusher now, Chris Jones.
Well, I guess D Ford's franchise, so they still have him.
Oh, he just got traded.
Oh, really? How long ago was this?
Yeah, he got traded to the 49ers for a second-round pick just a few minutes ago, just before we went on.
Okay.
So they got no pass rush. Their middle linebacker is still Anthony Hitchens, which is just LOL. He's got to be one of the two or three worst middle mics in the game.
I'll say this, though. Hitchens was awesome against New England last year. Like, he had a great game. Go back and watch the film. Watch the film.
It was one game.
I know, but Hitchens was awesome against New England. The bigger problem they have at inside linebacker is Reggie Ragland. Ragland's slow. Yeah. He doesn't tackle well. Like, Hitchens can at least he can tackle when he's physical. But yeah, I can't let you besmirch him. He was awesome against New England last year.
Reggie Ragland is the second best linebacker on the team.
Yeah, that's better.
And then your cornerbacks are now Kendall Fuller, Charvarius Ward, and Tre'Mon Smith.
No, I know. I don't know who the last two guys are.
Ward, I do know. Smith, I do not. But that is just a crap fest on defense.
you have Drew Sorensen, who's your third safety, and he played well against New England last year as well too. And it's like Matthew puts him over the top. I don't understand, because the Chiefs still had the worst run defense in football last year. They had the worst run defense in football the year before. And paying $14 million to Matthew when it could go to, like, you know, three players for $4 million a year who could actually, you know, stop the run a little bit, I think would have been a better use of resources.
They could have signed Angelo Blackson.
That's what I was about to say. They probably should have signed Angelo Blackson then. Yeah, I don't get it at all. I really don't know what they're trying to do. But I think, like I said, I think Matthew will be better, but I think it's a completely disastrous signing, and it was an awful decision by Kansas City. And thank God for Kansas City. Yes. But for Houston, would you have been okay if the Texans did sign Matthew for, you know, $29 million over 3 years?
I would have seen it as a waste. You know, I've said it multiple times. What does Tyrann Mathieu bring that – well, okay, so the caveat is that we re-signed Kareem Jackson, and I didn't see Denver going full drunken sailor on him. But, you know, with the assumption – but even with Andre Howell and Justin Reed, Tyrann Mathieu's still your third best safety on the team. I mean, Howell plays better center field. Reed, it seems to be they're considering him an in-the-box kind of guy. I have to tip the rivers for that one, even though I don't agree with that remotely. But I would rather have Justin Reed and Andre Howell out there than Tyrann Mathieu. So you're paying your third best safety on your roster, $9.5 million.
Yeah. I would say Matthew's better than Howell, but, like, Hal at least is really good at one thing and Matthew isn't. Whereas like Hal can play center field. He can run from the center field to the sideline and Matthew can't do them. Like that was kind of my thing too. It's like with at least with, you know, Reed's a better all around player. Hal can do this one thing and Jackson can do this one thing. I'd rather have Reed where maybe Matthew him redundant and then have two guys who have specific skill sets that keep Matthew around. And that brings us to Kareem Jackson. Now, Jackson signed a 3-year deal for $33 million. He's guaranteed $23 million to the Denver Broncos. It sounds like the Broncos are trying to play that cornerback, which is weird. I think he's going to be a safety. One of the other things I've enjoyed on Twitter since I've been online all week with the free agency stuff is all this information about, he's bad at cornerback. He needs to play safety in Denver. And yeah, we've been saying this for 4 years now. We understand this. We got it. We got it over here. But it sounds like the Texans didn't even offer Jackson a contract. They didn't even contact him at all whatsoever. So why do you think Houston was out on Jackson, didn't really make him an offer or want to keep him back at all?
My guess is that – so what we don't know is we don't know if he was actually offered by the Texans. There are a lot of things we don't know, but I think the second that the Texans might've gotten wind that somebody was offering Jackson $23 million guaranteed and 33 over 3 years. He's a safety, but he's an in the box safety at this point of his career. You want him facing the line of scrimmage. It goes back to Kareem Jackson's better in the box safety than Tyrann Mathieu. Andre Howell's a better center fielder. Justin Reed's better in all facets. Kind of thing, but I was really hoping we would keep him. But if the Broncos are expecting Kareem Jackson, who is 31 years old, the number of cornerbacks who are effective over the age of 30, you can almost count on two hands over the last 30 years. So that is just silliness squared. I hope that I don't care what Denver does. Play him at cornerback. See what happens. Good luck.
Yeah, and he's been bad cornerback for probably 4 years now.
Three or four years.
And like it's just his feet are terrible. Like he wastes so many steps whenever he's in man coverage. But I think whenever they finally move him to safety, I think he's gonna be pretty awesome in Denver. I think he just like fits that team and fits that culture and fits like that pass defense that's always really good every year. So I'm excited for him there. I'm glad he got paid. I wouldn't have given him as much money as he got. I thought if you're giving him, 3 years, $21 million, I think that would be a fine contract. But, I just for what he was worth, I'm glad Houston didn't keep him around either. But I'll really miss Kareem Jackson. I'll miss watching him tackle. And it's been really fun to watch him go from like all-time terrible rookie quarterback to, more than like a solid player. But he's been a really good player for, a while now. And it sucks that Houston didn't move him to safety sooner. And they get a chance to extend him, get more life out of him while he was playing here too.
Yeah, and here's the catch. Right now, this is the cornerback depth chart for the Broncos. Chris Harris, the best slot cornerback in the game, slot cornerback. Kareem Jackson, Craig Mager, and Isaac Yiadom.
Sounds good. Sounds good, John.
I just can't even. Denver better have a plan at cornerback, because if that is their plan, they are screwed.
Well, and it's weird too, because like last year they didn't have the best cornerback play, but they still had like a top 7 pass defense again. They had top 10 defense last year too, and I mean just with the pass rush they're able to get Von Miller and Chubb, and their run defense has gotten better too over the years also. But yeah, like I don't know what they're gonna do at cornerback at all this year. And it's weird. It's kind of weird what they've done too. They're one of the stranger teams this offseason.
John Elway doesn't have a clue.
Yeah. Well, it's also weird whenever you think about him and Gettleman and the moves they've made this offseason. And they constructed Super Bowl teams. Like they played each other in the Super Bowl 3 years ago. And so I don't know if the game has changed or if they've gotten old and senile or what happened in the past 3 years for them to completely lose their minds. I don't know if the game's different or what happened there, but it's kind of funny that just like 3 years later, they're completely just mucus brains,
Sometimes you get lucky.
Yeah. So the Texans finally did something today. They signed Tayshaun Gibson for 3 years, $22 million. So do you like the signing? Where do you think he fits on this defense?
So he's basically, we signed him to play center field over Andre Howell, basically, is what we did. I was, when the Jaguars signed him in 2016, so let's keep the dates here going, I was excited for the Jaguars because Tayshaun Gibson was coming from the Browns. He was a, he was a good young football player. He was 26 years old. He had had a nice career arc to that point in time. When he got to Jacksonville, he wasn't quite as good. Now, he's been fine. He's been average, maybe slightly above for the Jaguars. He'll be pretty decent for us in 2019. But there are two problems. Number one, he plays this year at 29 years old. So we're already starting to bump to 30. Yes, again, I'm ageist. 30 years old, bad news in the NFL.
You hate 30-year-olds so much in football.
Hate
it so much.
Totally. It's like Brandtrick used to say, you trade a guy a year too early rather than a year too late.
Yeah. Same
thing applies to 30-year-olds in football. So I think he's a nice signing, especially 3 years for 22 when we're seeing Tyrann Mathieu and Kareem Jackson get that kind of money. It's fine. But he'll play center for us. Andre Howell's our third safety. So I like what he brings as a skill set to the team a lot more than what Tyrann Mathieu brings. He's going to do a much better job against tight ends. He's going to do a much better job when he's forced to play nickel cornerback. So I do like it from that aspect, definitely.
Yeah.
The only problem I got with this is we're 3 years too late signing him.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fine for the deal he signed for. They didn't want to play under Hell every spot. And, like, they need to have three safeties considering Reed's age and Hell's health and Hell's inability to, you know, tackle all that well, too. And, like, Romeo Crennel really likes to play three safeties, too. And, you know, I mean, Gibson was a good player in Jacksonville. Again, he's playing on an all-time great pass defense with corners that are A.J. Boye and Jalen Ramsey. He played a lot of center field and cover three formations. The Jaguars played a lot of cover four last year too, which didn't make any sense, and they got torched a lot because of it. I don't think it was Gibson's fault. I think it was more their strong safety and more of kind of what happened over A.J. Boye got hurt too. So I think they're looking mainly at Gibson's guys they can plug in, who can play cover three, who can cover and play cover four. I don't see the Texans playing a lot of man this year. I think they're going to play a lot more zone coverage and those sorts of things just because of the cornerback talent they have too. So. But yeah, I like the signing. I think it's fine. I think it's good. I think Gibson's a guy who is, you know, a good player, and this is a fine contract for a good player. And I'm glad they signed Tayshaun Gibson for 3 years, $22 million, instead of Tyrann Mathieu for, you know, 3 years, $30 million, or whatever it would have been.
Yeah, I would take – I mean, if you're talking, would you trade Tayshaun Gibson for Tyrann Mathieu? That'd be like, oh, yeah, give me Gibson. He's mine.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that worked out well. And the other move that today they made was they signed Bradley Roby for 1 year, $10 million on a prove-it deal. After the Broncos, Kareem Jackson, Roby pretty much said the same thing Jackson said after he made a sign that the team that he previously played for didn't contact him, didn't really offer me anything at all. I never really, really reached out. There was zero negotiation. So I don't know a ton about Roby, mainly because I didn't watch the Broncos anymore after they lost to Cleveland Browns. And watching condensed versions of games, it's hard to tell which cornerbacks are good, which ones are bad. But I have Football Outsiders advanced charting stats here. So these are cornerbacks that are that you meet a minimum threshold of targets, snaps, and that sort of thing. And this is out of 85 cornerbacks. So he faced 78 targets last year. He gave up 10.3 yards a pass, which was 82nd. He had a success rate of 46%, which was 68th. His average target against him traveled 12 yards in the air, which is 49th. He averaged a little bit more than 3 yards after the catch, which is 81st. This is out of 85 cornerbacks. So Roby, you know, all that, these are like the best numbers you can get for cornerback play. Not good. These are bad numbers. This is a bad thing from Roby. And so, like, so what do you think about the signing? Did you like this one? Are you fine with Roby at 1 year, $10 million? Do you have any concerns at all? And how do you feel about the cornerback position today? Do you feel Kansas City level bad? Do you feel Denver Broncos level bad? How are you feeling right now? Open up that heart for me.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I never do that on the show, do I? So, Roby, I just want to go back to when you deal with people smarter than you, that's how you become smarter. And one of these days, I will become smarter. But one of the things that I've been throwing out there is that we just need to carpet bomb cornerbacks. Sign them all. don't care. Well, the way the contracts are set up today, sign every cornerback on the market, let them fight it out and cut the rest. And that seems to be kind of what the plan for Bradley Roby was for us, because the fact is he's alive and he's not Sharice Wright.
And he's 26 years old, dude.
He's 26 years old, former first rounder. So maybe we bring him in and we can improve him. But this is the type of guy you have to take a chance on. What I don't like is I don't like one-year contracts. Just de facto, just really kind of hate them, because that means you have absolutely no faith in what you're doing. I get the concept of one-year contracts, but we signed Tyrann Mathieu to a one-year contract. He played for $6.5 million and then fled for whatever, $8.6 billion the next year. So it's a fine signing. It also shows you have absolutely no faith in him. And I don't like kind of that give and take aspect of it. I am surprised that he signed a contract like that. And I still think that anybody's an upgrade over Sharice Wright. My dog has better ball skills, and I swear to God, you could throw him a hot dog and he'd miss it by 5 feet. We have not adequately addressed the biggest problem on the team. Signing Tayshaun Gibson's great. We haven't signed an offensive lineman. We signed one cornerback, and we have three open spots at cornerback.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I kind of tried it. One of the few standards I have in my life is a man with zero morals at all whatsoever, is that whenever I don't know something, I try not to speak on it. Instead of Roby, like, I definitely need to watch video on him. I've watched enough Jaguars games and watched enough Jaguars video to, I can safely say Gibson's a fine player. He's a good player. It's not like signing Earl Thomas or anything like that. And like Roby, like, I just don't know enough about him, but the numbers are bad. But like me saying that, like, I'm excited to watch him and kind of learn more about him. But it's the type of contract you want to sign for a guy, who's young, who's a former first round pick that has the pedigree. It's kind of like signing a healthy version of Kevin Johnson in a way, where you're taking a chance on a first round pick who started, who's played some, and 1 year, $10 million, really isn't bad at all. Especially when you look at the cornerback market, how there's not a lot of good ones. He's one of the best ones out there. And so you're signing into a deal with zero risk for the future. And again, $10 million isn't that bad all this year, especially for a team with a lot of cap space like Houston has.
Yes. And we should be signing all the cornerbacks.
Yeah, I like the idea. I like the idea that you have with that.
Just sign them all, let them fight it out, and then you keep the best ones. Because I have no faith in Aaron Colvin at this point in time. Jonathan Joseph applied for Medicare last week.
What about Social Security? He's probably 3 years off for that.
Right?
He could almost get $7 Luan platters from Luby's on Sunday too.
Oh, God, we have a Luby's reference.
He's close enough. He's like right there in the mirror in front of him. He can see that National Park Senior Pass for only $35 for the rest of his life to get him for free.
Oh, my God. And the news comes across, Earl Thomas is feeling – or the Browns are feeling good about signing Earl Thomas.
Good.
Imagine that team now. I am seriously – I'm going to go buy a Baker Mayfield jersey. I cannot believe I'm saying that.
Yeah, I do need to get Josh Allen shirt, see, too. So let's take one more break, and then when we come back, before we get too far into the cornerbacks that we like and stuff, that's one of the things that I want to discuss here to end off tonight's show. All right, and we're back. So – I got two more things that I want to talk about tonight with you, and then we'll separate our paths like the roots at the bottom of the tree, and go do other things. So the first question I have is that there's a lot of guys out there that we liked for the Houston Texans, especially a team with $72 million entering this offseason, and there's a lot of guys that they didn't sign that now have new homes. They're moving to new cities. The moving trucks are crisscrossing across the country, and they're not going to Houston. So which signings hurt your feelings the most that the Texans didn't go out there and get instead?
I will just be flat out honest and say Kareem Jackson is the one that hurts the most.
Yeah.
Because I really think even at 31, with his skill set, his tackling ability, his ability to get to the quarterback, we never took advantage of what his true skill set was. And I feel like the Texans really wasted his career.
Yeah, I think that Denver game last year too is probably the best example of like what he can do as a safety. Like, he was awesome that game with his run tackling, his run blitzing, his pass blitzing. Like, that's what you're hoping for Denver.
Yeah, he's a terrible cornerback and an elite safety, which is just not normal.
Yeah. I saw a tweet today also from someone in Denver that was like, oh, with the by signing Kareem Jackson, the Denver Broncos have two top five corners, according to Pro Football Focus grade. So, like, what are we even doing here anymore, man? Like, what are we even doing at all?
The other two that hurt, I made the reference earlier, Roger Saffold. I mean, he's old. I get it.
He's only 29. He's a guard. Like, yeah, 30 so years old is better. Yeah, 30 years old isn't old for a guard, though.
I thought he was 30 or 31. Is he 29?
I mean, he may be 30 by the time the season starts.
Okay, maybe that's my...
J.J. Watt's going to be 30 by the time the season starts, too, I think.
Yeah, he's... Saffold plays this year at 31.
Okay.
So, with the guard, that's okay. You're going to get three or four more years out of him. But the big problem for me is where he signed. And he signed with the BSS.
Tying up, Daddy. Woo!
And so, they've got a huge upgrade on their offensive line now that we could have had on our offensive line. And it's because we wouldn't go beyond what he signed for. It's 22 and a half guaranteed. I can't remember what it was, but it was a doable contract. Yeah. I mean, even in free agency, it was a contract that we should have met. We should have been all in on signing a guard. The other one is, again, props to Rivers, is Matt Paradise. It's time to retire Nick Martin. It's time to kind of shove off and do away with that. And signing him, Paradise would have done a lot for the team. So we didn't address the offensive line in any meaningful way, which is fine-ish at left tackle because I don't think anybody could have stepped in and done much better. Juwan James is a nightmare, is a dream. It's not going to happen. Just get it out of your heads. But Saffold, Paradis, is it Paradise or Paradis?
I like Paradise more. It reminds me of Foxing.
Yeah, but there's no E at the end, so it doesn't make the I long.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably Paradis, but I like Paradise more.
All right. But we could have shored up the interior, and we didn't, of the offensive line. And then, of course, the cornerbacks, Ronald Darby's still out there, and we should just be backing up the dump truck full of cash.
We're not there yet, all right? We'll get there in a second. We'll talk about the players we want. We're almost there.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I'm really bummed out about the Roger Saffold thing because he's one of the five best outside zone blocking guards in football. Like, you go watch that Los Angeles-Dallas game against one of the, you know, top 10 run defenses out there in that playoff game last year. And Saffold was unbelievable. Like, every single block that you need to make for a guard in the outside zone, he makes all of it. He reaches the outside shoulder. He can cut players from the backside. He can get to the second level. He, like, knows how to time his blocks and, you know, how to flow to the next level and all of that sort of stuff. And I mean, he's unbelievable. And so, like, if you're running the outside zone, that's what you want. And he's more than a good enough pass blocker. No one really hurt. And kind of the weird thing, too, for, you know, what we've seen this offseason, it seems like the Texans have, like, a number for all these guys out there. And if the number is greater than this, they're not doing it, but they're going to stick to their number. And so I don't know if this, like, analytics things that the Houston Texans have now, where they have some sort of formula that they're grading out these guys, or they just say, hey, we're not doing more than $9 million a year for this guy, and that's it. And this is our final offer. And the Titans just outmatched Houston in this case. And also, this is a Titans team that doesn't have as much cap space as Houston. Would have lost a bidding war to him anyways, and it didn't matter. But yeah, I mean, I would have loved Saffold at left guard. You would have gotten rid of Calamente, who's, you'd be a fine third guard there, you know, as a good, you know, fine backup guy, whatever. And you could have shored that. You would have finally had an offensive lineman who could block the second level. Paradis is similar, kind of like with Saffold, where he blocks the second level really well. I mean, I think the thing about Martin is that Martin's not going to be a good guard. So if you don't like Martin at center, just don't play him at all because he's not a good run blocker. He doesn't block the second level well. Moving him to guard is not going to help him at all whatsoever. It's a worse position for him. You either play him at center or you don't play him at all. And so if you wanted to move on from completely, you know, Paradis signed a very reasonable contract with Carolina for, you know, one of the, you know, seven best centers out there too. So I'm fine with doing Martin for one more year if he can learn how to block the second level. He's a fine pass blocker. And, like, you know, he was talented coming out of college. He has pedigree there. And, like, I don't know, maybe Mike Devlin can teach one of his players how to do something well. And, but, yeah, the Saffold one hurts me the most. The second one that hurts, too, is the Sheldon Richardson signing. because the Texans do need an interior pass rusher, and so they sign Angelo Blackson. And look at who's available. Muhammad Wilkerson's the last guy available. Muhammad Wilkerson doesn't like playing football sometimes. It's like, do you want to pay Wilkerson $9 million a year to maybe or maybe not play football? And so it looks like they're not going to do anything at interior. That was, I felt, the biggest need they had on their defense was interior pass rusher. Their rush was all Watt. It was all Clowney. Nobody else gave rush aside from them. And with the quarterback position being the way it is in free agency, the only way to have a competent pass defense and not face the same issues you had last year was to have a top two pass rush or top three pass rush. And that doesn't look like it's going to happen a lot either. So, yeah, the Sheldon Richardson one really hurts. The Saffold one really hurts. And everything else, you know, is whatever. And I learned this lesson every, you know, probably at least like once every 4 months, usually during free agency. And it's that the things that I want whenever it comes to sports don't happen. It turns out my opinion doesn't matter. Our opinion doesn't matter. Our feelings don't matter. And the Texans are just going to do what they're going to do. But yeah, those two, all that lust out of my heart for those two guys is dried up and withered like, you know, just a raisin.
Like my soul. Yes, I was on mute because I was typing and I didn't want to bother you.
Yeah, it sounds good. Yeah, it was a nice little soliloquy. That's what I should write. You know, whenever I say something like that, I'm like, yeah, I just need to write that out.
Yep.
So the last question I have for you tonight is, free agency isn't over yet. Tomorrow actually starts the officialness of free agency. The free agency actually officially begins tomorrow. So who are some players out there you hope Houston takes a shot at now that free agency officially starts tomorrow?
That's such an interesting question, especially with all that we've talked about. Ronald Darby is a guy who I'd absolutely take a risk on. And I'll say it again, I said it a couple weeks ago, Jason Verrett. You got to take risk to be successful. And I think both of those guys are both coming off major injuries. You don't know how they're going to perform. Ronald Darby's going to he's going to get a lot of money because he's 26 and he was playing some decent ball. I think Jason Verrett has played great ball when he's healthy.
Yeah.
You got to take risk. I would absolutely go after both those guys.
Yeah. And Verrett, if you play a lot of zone coverage too, like he's a good zone coverage corner. So you want some secret football outsiders for all Darby stats. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm so excited. I can't even show you my nipples.
Ooh, I can see them through that shirt because of how outside you are. So this, you know, this is also meeting, you know, the filter of the minimum players played, or like minimum plays played, kind of like how Bradley Roby was. So out of 85 quarterbacks, are you ready? Ronald Darby, 65 targets. He allowed 6 yards a pass, which was 11th. He started 9 games last year. He has success rate of 57%, which is 19th. His average pass against him traveled 11.9 yards, which is 50th. His yards after the catch is 0.8, which is 3rd. So before he was injured, you know, according to the numbers, he was a top 10 cornerback, fringe top 10 cornerback. And this is also playing on, you know, one of the best defensive lines out there in a situation on a defense where he just plays man coverage on the outside. And he also has Malcolm Jenkins and the other players around him. But yeah, you know, Darby's kind of like the guy for me right now too. And it's mainly also because I love the idea of having Darby and Roby on the outside. So I don't see him confused anymore. I can iron that part down. Oh no, we got Darby, we got Roby. That's a good quarterback combo. I like the way it sounds. And so, yeah, like I would love if they could do, you know, maybe some 2-year contract with a lot of big money for it. And who knows, because of his injury he had last year and the Eagles don't have the money to, you know, pay him, especially after the way their young quarterback son came on to him last year also.
Yeah, and I would like to, since we both got that in, Texan has a question for us I would like to address, if that's cool.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. So, Texan, always with the wisdom drop, just a new ass in the chair, nothing more so far. What do you say, BFD? But I'm going to toss that to you first, Big Matt. What do you say about Brian Gain versus Rick Smith?
I don't know. I think Brian Gain is like less, I don't know, it's just kind of weird. Like Brian Gain's like pretty much like an NFL writer with the way he thinks about free agency, where you don't want to pay too much for mediocre players. You want to, you know, not go all in on free agency. You want to book through the draft and whatever, that sort of thing. And so, I think until we see Brian Gain with like his first full draft, you know, a first round pick and his 2 second round picks, it's hard to say. And I don't know, I think it's too early really to compare the two. I will always say that, you know, Rick Smith is like a pop singer who comes out with like three really big hits on an album and like nine just awful, terrible songs.
Yeah. And I will say, you know, my take, I've already kind of given it, was that Tyrann Mathieu was a litmus test of sorts for me. And I feel like he failed in some ways, but in some ways he also passed because he didn't sign him for $14 million a year.
Good job. Yeah. I want that job. I want the job where it's like, hey, you did a great job. You didn't give Tyrann Mathieu $14 million a year. I want that job.
It's kind of pathetic, isn't it? Ugh. Anyway, that's my hot take on it, is at least he didn't screw that up.
Yeah, and I like the offseason he had last year a lot, considering the resources Houston had. I'm enjoying what he's doing so far this year. I do wish, like, you know, he actually spent some money on those two positions, and I think it's kind of shortchanging Houston in some ways, but it's still long. There's still a lot more time. I had to go on sign guys. And also, Ron Darby tore his ACL last year in November, too. And so that's what he's coming off of. So I think he's probably going to sign a deal kind of similar to I've read we did, like a one-year deal or maybe even a two-year deal.
The way it's sounding, it sounds like he's going to get a lot more than that for longer. Yeah. Dang.
Well, all right. Well, that's what happens. That's what happens. Some other guys I like, too. I like Stefan Wisniewski to play, you know, left guard. He's better than Kelemente. He was really good on that Eagles Super Bowl run. I know he had some problems last year. He's, you know, 31. He got benched. He had some injuries last year. And they decided to go Suamalo instead of Philadelphia. But, like, I mean, the guy made some, like, transcendent blocks. Like, he, in that Falcons playoff game, he blocked, you know, four guys on a screen pass and sprung for 65 yards and doing things like that. And, like, I think locking down that left guard spot will do, you know, make a tremendous impact for, you know, both tackles too. I like Shaq Barrett as an edge rusher. I think he's the best edge rusher available. In the way that Houston was playing Whitney Merciless last year, they need a speed rush guy, a speed and rip guy. Merciless isn't that. I think Shaq Barrett can do that job. We talked about Ronald Darby already. But the one kind of like Easter egg, like cute kind of guy I like to see is maybe Mark Ingram. They could give him for 1 year for like $6 million or so. Because he's a talented pass catcher, he can actually break tackles. He's a good red zone running back as well, too. And he can do a lot of different things. And so you're looking at a team that has always struggled to break tackles. You know, Ingram has done this before. And so I think more importantly, it's blocking the second level, but it doesn't look like Houston's be able to do that well. So those are the four guys that I like, Ingram, Wisniewski, Barrett, and Darby, as we go into free agency tomorrow.
And it's just really hard to believe that Alfred Blue hasn't already signed. Isn't that shocking?
He doesn't fumble, and that's good for at least $4 million nowadays.
Holy crap. I still can't believe there are Alfred Blue defenders out there. It's like, how bad does a player have to be so that you don't defend him?
Yeah.
And Alfred Blue is the litmus test for that. I'm done. I'm tired.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. I am hoping for Alfred Blue to play for the San Antonio Defenders in 2020 so I can send you a starter jersey next year.
Oh, my God. I don't think he's capable of that.
Yeah, so, well, that was fun. Tomorrow, free agency begins officially. We'll have the tracker up there. We'll be trying to update it as we work our shifts at the factory. You know, suck on the teat of the man that keeps us alive. And we'll update
myself. Some. Oh my God. Yeah, that was dirty.
You're such a lucky boy. And we'll be doing that tomorrow. And I'll try to write something else and we'll do some more podcasts and I'll watch some Darby film. And yeah, we'll keep the off season rolling. And it was fun talking to you about free agency and IBFT. We'll be back on next week sometime. And my name is Matt Weston. Thank you for listening to Bobbed Radio.
That was pretty good.